You're listening to episode 252 of Lifestyle Locker Radio with Dr. Jim LaValle. Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and welcome to Lifestyle Locker Radio, where we help you create an awesome life and lifestyle. From nutrition to fitness, mindfulness to peak performance, and relationships to money mindset, we bring you on an amazing journey to help you unleash your human potential. Hey everyone, welcome back to Lifestyle Locker Radio. We have an awesome guest today, Dr. Jim LaValle. This guy's got some really cool stuff. He's a published author of a lot of books. He's in the health world, he's in the performance world. And per our pre-conversation, he's all about unleashing people's human potential. I mean, that's what he does for a living. So Jim, welcome to the show.
Oh man, it's great to be here. I'm super excited about talking with you now that we got a little preamble before we got live.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have a lot of information. I mean, we probably could do like a full day seminar right now on lifestyle, which right. We're not going to do. So let's dial it in. Because I know on your website, you talk a little bit about your health crisis, which drove you into what you do personally now today. Right. So can you go a little bit into your past to go into, you know,
sure.
What you're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, basically, I was the sick kid, you know, double pneumonia at 4 months, almost didn't live, lived on antibiotics. You know, I always kid around and say, you know, I thought that the pink stuff, amoxicillin with the bubblegum flavor was a part of my meal plan. And that Dimetapp, the purple stuff, that was my evening dessert, right? Because wow. I was that sick all the time, allergy shots, you name it. And so, you know, gut disruption, had bad dairy allergies, didn't know it. My dad would bring me home a hot fudge sundae or a milkshake to show me he loved me. And gosh darn it, I had, you know, stuffed up sinuses and, you know, chronic infections all the time. And so I kind of, you know, pushed through all that, obviously, was a scholarship athlete. But, you know, when you're a scholarship athlete and I was training really hard, I collapsed a disc in my neck, couldn't play football, went and started doing bodybuilding. While I was going through pharmacy school, so was training, you know, 3-4 hours a day while trying to go through the toughest pharmacy school in the country at the time. Yeah. You know, kind of won my, you know, qualified for the U.S. Nationals, looked like this, you know, Adonis, and felt like I was 90 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
And skin rashes and bloated and passing out after I ate because I was back then, you're eating high carb to load your glycogen. And I'm just going, wait a second, there is something wrong. I went to a doctor of chiropractic who had specialized in nutrition therapies. And he put me on a diet, did some obviously biomechanics on me because I was training so much. I was, you know, putting 1,000 pounds on my back, trying to squat it, that kind of stuff.
Of course.
Which as a young, dumb Italian, of course I would. my point being is he, you know, I felt so good. And when I was going through pharmacy school, I went to a pharmacy school where they actually taught pharmacognosy, plant medicine, organic medicinal biochemistry. I got grounded in what makes receptors turn on and off in your body. So I got this notion going to him that, hey, it doesn't matter whether it's natural, synthetic, it's an emotion, it's a mood, it's training. Everything turns on and off receptors. And now I have this opportunity to teach people how I can help them to maximize their human performance and live performance health. And really the way I mean, I know this just take a few extra minutes to tell you this,
there
but
you
this is important. I'm working behind the pharmacy counter. You know, back then I weighed about 265. I was one big knot of muscle.
Wow.
And you know, the guy there, you know, the pharmacy director said, no one's going to rob a store from you. So we're going to put you in the roughest neighborhood in Cincinnati, greater Cincinnati. One night a lady comes up to me. She gives me a diabetic medication. She's on a Medicaid card. She's going around the store because I was in a Kroger pharmacy. So it's food plus pharmacy. She brings her cart back. All the foods that are in there are going to aggravate her diabetes. And I realize it's food stamps, it's Medicaid. But I said to her, and it was right out of school, I said, you mind if I take you around the store and show you a couple things? Which I wasn't supposed to leave the pharmacy, but I didn't really know that. So I just went around, showed her some stuff. Next 2 weeks, 14 people show up wanting the grocery store tour. And this is in the most indigent, roughest neighborhood in the greater Cincinnati area. I went to Kroger Pharmacy and I said, hey, why don't we tag foods for heart health and tag foods for diabetes health? And I'll make a guide for heart healthy shopping. Get rid of this, get rid of the partially hydrogenated oils, get rid of these hidden high sugars and these low cholesterol cookies. Let's really teach people. And they actually bought on it. We found more diabetics. We did cholesterol testing, diabetes testing. And what it really ended up doing was creating the first FDA food tagging system that was implemented. It did about 1.2 million impressions a week, actually, on showing people what they could choose to eat. The reason I'm bringing that up is here's how I do it is it doesn't matter to me whether I'm in front of one person. You don't know how many millions of people you can affect. Mm-hmm. And that stuck with me from the age of 24 to now. And I've been 35 years now. I'm turning 61 in 2 weeks. And so it's been about 36, going on 37 years of doing this work, focusing on performance health for people and teaching them that they're empowered to change their health. So that's the story.
Yeah, and that's really neat. You know, just like telling someone to put down the Fruit Loops and here, get a bag of, you know, get a carton of strawberries or so, you know, like it's unbelievable. And you said something that's really cool. You mentioned, you know, you never know how far like you can reach someone, right? Millions of people can be impacted. And the guy that developed chiropractic, one of his quotes is this: you never know how far reaching something you think, say, or do can affect the lives of millions tomorrow.
That's it.
That's, and you just 100%. Said it without saying it, right? Like, so that was really cool.
Tingles, man. The goosebumps just came on. That's exactly it.
Yeah. So we go from pharmacy school to like becoming the grocery store, like the tour guide, to developing, hey, listen, there are healthier ways to do things. So now fast forward, I mean, you get into becoming an author. I mean, like, what made you want to sit down and write books? I'm looking at like, you have the books behind you and the people that are watching the video, like the COX-2 enzyme, the connection, this, and all of these different things. What made you start to become an author and really think you need to get this information out this way?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. After pharmacy school, I got asked to actually teach at the College of Pharmacy and the College of Medicine. So I always had this approach of I wanted to be academically sound. So I taught as an appointed professor for 17 years and was a preceptor for fourth year med students as well as fourth year pharmacy students. And then it was important to me to write about the validation of natural compounds because all I always heard was, oh, they don't work. There's no evidence. Well, I've written about 60,000 pages of evidence and have, four databases, 22 books. I'm very big on promoting the value of dietary supplements and the belief. And the reason for that was, is I wanted to let people understand that there's a science behind it, that 40% of the drugs on the market can't come from natural compounds anyway. And by the way, if we're talking about evidence-based, I can name any four drugs that a doctor prescribes every day, and they have no evidence of those four drugs being given together. So, I mean, we're all swimming around in the same fishbowl. It's just what are we doing to really move the needle of that person's health, and are we tracking it appropriately? And so when I was in Ohio, I developed, they had probably the largest clinic in the country. We were seeing about 300 to 400 patients a week doing personalized medicine on every one of them. So this was for, this was, do your labs, here's your diet, here's your chemistry, this is where you're off. This
is a lot of work.
We're hitting it. We're getting after it. And this is people, everything from cancer to colitis to autoimmune disorders to performance. That led to doing a program with Lifetime Fitness where we designed a program that could go out and train 2,700 trainers along with their dietitians to reach out and actually do a program with 250,000 lives and show that you can mass personalize. We can create programs that personalize an approach that are effective. And so that's what, for me, it's always been about the academics. It's been about being a clinician. I still see people today. And then in the third piece is how does it integrate into business? And so you need that good academic information and authorship, and for me to integrate that into healthcare.
Yeah. So now we like fast forward to, 2.0, this new version of you here, right? We have this whole like digital world now, like the metabolic code. You're not just like this guy with a paper book, right? So this really intrigued me, really, really intrigued me, the metabolic code, this whole platform that you've built on tracking and testing and having something that works with practitioners as well as
Right.
with the person that's actually looking forward to like getting better.
That's right.
So let's jump into the actual nuts and bolts of this, because people really need to, I like, if you're watching the video, I'll share some links obviously, but I want them to see this, because you have like a simple, I don't want, it's not, I know it's not simple, but it's a simple way to approach and look and go, wow, okay, there are these five pieces to this puzzle, and there are more pieces behind each piece, obviously, but we can go and we got to see how we can start to maximize those pieces of the puzzle. I know I'm probably butchering it a little bit.
No, you're doing good.
Yeah, but
No, it's awesome. Yeah, it's great.
yeah.
So I'll tell you what. So first of all, in learning theory, people learn in fives and threes. So for me, it's not about how smart I am or how smart you are as a practitioner. It's how good can we communicate what's going on to that patient so that they make decisions that are wiser and they move themselves, right?
Yeah.
And so after doing hundreds of patients a week, I kept seeing these clusters of issues that went on in individuals. So what we did was, first of all, there's a questionnaire that's very thorough. There's biometrics, there's wearable data, and then of course there's labs. And where we fall short all the time is that a lot of times people may have a lot of symptoms and their labs aren't that bad. Or sometimes people come in, they say, I feel awesome. And you look at their labs and they're in really bad shape.
Yeah.
And so what it's doing is it's bridging all the worlds of biometric information, subjective information, lab information, and then it all funnels through about a 40,000 decision algorithm and it buckets it into five categories. And those five categories are the areas that are accepted in healthcare. For example, triad one, adrenal, thyroid, pancreas. And that's the relationship between cortisol, glucose, and insulin, and thyroid hormone. And when those are in balance, people have energy and their mind is clear. And when it's out of balance, they feel fatigued and they gain weight. My consumers understand that. My patient can understand that. But if I say, do you realize when your cortisol is elevated that it upregulates your interleukin 6 and that's going to regulate claudin 2 and that's going to create changes in gut permeability and bacterial translocation?
Of
What?
course.
Yeah, right. I got it. What are you telling me? All I know is I'm gassy, doc. Can you help me with my gas? I mean, and so that's the issue that I found. And so the reason that I built it to be that simple is that it's very complex, the relationships, right? Gut, immune, brain. That's all about resiliency. How resilient am I to insult? How resilient am I to chronic stress so I don't become anxious? I don't become stressed out. My immune system doesn't shift. I don't start to become intolerant to foods, or I don't start to become reactive to biotoxins. I mean, that's the second triad. And the third, of course, cardiopulmonary neurovascular, which we get into that whole thing of autonomic tone, the central nervous system. And look, the beauty of this test, I use this in elite athletes and I use this in people with chronic illnesses. The rules don't change. Everybody's got adrenal glands, everybody's got a pancreas, everybody's got thyroid, everybody's got a heart, a neurovascular network. We all have heart rate variability readings, we all have blood pressures. But what really changes is, what are we doing to ourselves? Am I training at an elite level and overtraining? Am I eating poorly? Am I not training at all? Am I under a tremendous amount of stress and not getting sleep? I mean, what are the factors that are driving me to the consequence of the way I feel? And so the whole platform of the metabolic code is to quickly say, what's cause and what's consequence? And why don't we go for the cause and get people to move the needle so they start to feel better? Instead of this nebulous thing of, oh yeah, I heard taking Tibetan goji berries are really good because they were blessed by a monk. And then all of a sudden now I'm taking fiber because it's cool. And I'm eating paleo-ketogenic, but I'm plant forward. I mean, right? We get all this confusing information. And I'm just telling you from 37 years in literally thousands and thousands of patients. It doesn't have to be difficult to get well, but it does have to be organized so that you make an organized approach to performance health. And that's what the purpose of the metabolic code was.
Yeah, I think it's really cool because I've mentioned this on other shows that, you know, with other guests, and you know, we talked about epigenetics, right? And it's our environmental factors, it's the movements, it's the thoughts. And you mentioned this early in our conversation, but this is a way that you're able to track the epigenetics of the person plus the, you know, their blood work, plus all of these pieces of the puzzle and go, great, this is where you are. Where do you want to go?
That's just it.
Right.
Everybody's got a different, like everybody's different on what their desire is, right? Like for me, I'm a Spartan, right? I've been a Spartan my whole life. I mean, yeah. I want to get to the peak. Now, yeah. You know, and if you told me to do 10 things, I would say, what? There's just 10?
I'm doing 11.
Don't you have 12? Yeah. I mean, I don't like odd numbers. I'd have to go for 12. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, come on, you know, but early on I had to realize not everybody's a Spartan, and we got to guide them and reach them to the potential that they're happy for. But the one thing that the whole purpose of this platform was, is to prove what you and I believe in. Mm-hmm. Meaning that, you know, the big ding on integrative or functional or regenerative, of course, I'm the co-chair for the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. So I teach thousands of docs a year how to do this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. The biggest ding on us is, where's your evidence?
Yeah, of course.
And that's what we're doing with the Metabolic Code platform, is saying, here's the evidence. Here's how they ate. Here's the drugs they were on. Here's the nutrients they took. Here's how they slept. Here's their biometrics. Here's their lab outcomes. And watch the numbers tumble downward as we lose their metaflammation. Because what epigenetics is really about is that the more we put pressure on our epigenetics, we trigger metaflammation. That's why I call it metabolic code, metaflammation. That's not my term. I wish I could take it. It's a term in the medical literature. Metaflammation leads to inflammaging.
Yeah, I've heard that one. Yeah.
Okay. So metaflammation is the process of triggering inflammaging. So what the metabolic code does is what I've tried to teach people is, how do you unravel that metabolic soup? How do you unravel this dysfunction and move towards better epigenetic expression? And, you know, I just did the True Diagnostics test, which is the epigenetic test that, you know, Dr. Horvath developed, you know, the GRIM test and looking at DNA methylation. And when I did it, they said to me, because I already knew my genetics are terrible. It's like, I probably shouldn't even be here talking to you. I should be pickled or something, or put in a corner. Mm-hmm. So my genetics are really bad on every level, from the obesity genes all the way through, you know, detox genes, you name it. But I did the DNA methylation epigenetic test, and the researcher said, wow, you're actually younger. He goes, I never see a 60-year-old male in the US younger biologically than their chronologic age due to all the pressures on their chemistry. And that's when I personally felt empowered and really good about what I've been doing the last 37 years. That just happened about 4 months ago, you know? So I was kind of like, hey, you know what? I know I've got all the data behind me. I know I've got all this stuff, but it kind of feels good just at that individual level to know, you know what, you can really can shift a lot of that pressure away from you. And it doesn't have to be that hard.
Yeah. You know, you've heard of probably Dr. Bruce Lipton.
Of course.
So, I mean, I love that he talks about turning genes on and genes off. Most people think their genes are their destiny. And you just proved, you know, by doing what you do and what you teach, you do what you teach and you teach what you preach, or whatever it is, but your metabolic age is lower, which is ultimately what we want. Because, and I have these conversations with patients all the time. I practice, I'm like, listen, age is just a number. It doesn't need to be, you don't need to be that number, right? Like you don't need to. And it's all the lifestyle choices and the things we're doing every day that either drive us towards, you know, longevity, life, lifestyle, wellness, all this stuff, or that drive us towards sickness, disease, and death. Like that's the way the body works. Most people live in that middle, like just like teeter tottering, like tasting both sides of that continuum, going, I feel good. All right, not great. Now I have like a six pack and, you know, some nachos, and I'm going to feel like shit for the next, you know.
Exactly.
And then we just keep doing this all the time. You know, I remember
right.
I just want to use an example at a CrossFit gym. I used to run, or not run, I used to do CrossFit. And it was interesting watching these guys that are incredibly strong, men and women, incredibly strong. And I'm really into the nutrition. I'm into all the stuff. A couple of my buddies that we worked out to are really into like dialing in, like, how do we maximize performance, reduce injury, get better recovery? And there are people are like, that look like Iron Man, right? Like they're super strong. They're like popping Pop-Tarts. I'm like, you know, that's not going to help you. Like, I'm like, it doesn't make sense.
That's
but
right.
They think, you know, fitness equals health, which it does not.
No, it does not. And I'll tell you what, I always tell people, because I see it all the time. I get people that do ketogenic diets. So they're very ketogenic. And their APOE3/4 or 4/4 gene SNPs, which means they don't tolerate saturated fat, and they're making a lot of oxidized LDL. They're making a lot of apolipoprotein B. So they're making chemical compounds that are pro-inflammatory, even though they look shredded. That's like, great. You're going to look awesome in your casket. Awesome. That's because you nailed that, because it's exactly the issue. Is it's not just about how you look on the outside. You have to have an objective look at what's going on the inside. I think people just blow off heart rate for one. And I think heart rate is the window to whether or not you're controlling your central nervous system.
Heart rate or the heart rate variability is what you're talking about? Okay.
Both. They're both important. Heart rate variability is incredibly important. Obviously, autonomic flexibility of your heart rhythm is incredibly important. But just baseline heart rate is important, because, you know, resting heart rate for every 4 points over 62 represents a 7 to 10% increased cardiometabolic risk for disease in the future. So a lot of people don't even realize that, you know, like, okay, wait a second. I'm super excited right now. I'm all the way up to a 56 on my heart rate. Oh my God. I better get up and start doing some burpees or something.
Yeah.
So my point is, I think that, first of all, your metabolism is more than how many calories you burn. So the people that eat Pop-Tarts and say, hey, I train a lot, I can afford to eat this. Your metabolism really is the sum total of all the metabolic reactions going on in your body right now that you have synthesized from the time you were in your mother's womb till today, with all the environmental exposures, all the stressors, all the impacts, all the nutrition deficiencies, who you are today and all the chemistry you present. That is your metabolism. And moving forward, you said it. We're like, you know, brothers from another mother, man. It's taking you either towards health and longevity or something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
There's no in between. And that gray space just invites illness. And that's why I've been, why I'm passionate about being inclusive of taking down what medications people are on. Because what I want to show is when people change their diet and alter their exercise and start to take some nutrients, maybe they need to be on a medication. Obviously I'm a clinical pharmacist. I'm still an ACCP member, from American College Clinical Pharmacy member, board certified clinical nutritionist. You know, I've studied a lot of things. But the bottom line is, I want to know what happens. Do they need as many meds? Do their symptom scores go down? Because when your symptom score go down, you feel better, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's big. I mean, whether I'm working on a NHL hockey player or, you know, a business executive or a mom of five, I mean, you know, everybody wants to perform at their best so that they can do their best.
Yeah. You know? No, I agree. I think that's powerful. And that continuum is something that's, I mean, we have them up in our office. Like there's two sides to this continuum there all the time. And, it got me thinking about, mentioning performance and feeling good versus functioning good and all of the stuff you have in the metabolic code here. As a chiropractor, you know, going into the physiology, going to like the nervous system, this is important. We talk about this in our practice. And I wonder if this is something that actually could be put into your thing if it's not in yet. You know, when we study like the research in chiropractic, they talk about autonomic tone, autonomic variability or heart rate variability, and how chiropractic has a massive impact on this. So having, you know, I always talk to people that like the best biohack in the world is having a healthy nervous system, because then if you're doing all the other pieces, everything can work well. Like that's like there is the nervous system and then there's everything else, right? On top of it, like the hormones and everything you obviously have and that you've built out pretty insanely well. So it would be really neat to see, you know, as a chiropractor, how a chiropractic person you have, I know probably how many people are engaged in this software, but you can collect data and see trends of people changing and getting better, which is really, really neat to show that you may not need to be on as many medications or any at all, right? Like,
Exactly. And so just so you know, I mean, I come out of a huge belief in physical medicine.
yeah.
Like I think that chiropractic care is, and I actually taught at the New York State College of Chiropractic Medicine and Oriental Medicine. I taught the master's course in nutrition there. I was one of the course
Oh, wow.
instructors.
Okay.
So I'm telling you, I really believe in it.
Yeah.
But I think that without a doubt, because we track heart rate variability, because we have wearable devices, we track heart rate, blood pressure. These are basic things that people don't understand. As soon as you get under stress, your brain starts to fire up your central nervous system, upregulate sympathetic tone, which A sends, messages to the periphery and the blood vessels to get stiff. But B also sends messages through the enteric chromaffin cells into the enteric nervous system that ends up causing, more corticotropin releasing hormone to release. Your gut becomes permeable. Now you start to become more prone to chronic inflammatory signaling. So I don't think people appreciate that when you keep good nervous system hygiene, which is what I believe people should do chiropractic preventatively, because nervous system hygiene helps us to maintain proper function of that brain gut. Just one
Of
example,
course, yeah, huge.
brain gut connection, which is so big today, because so many people now, look, when I was a kid, look, I'm 61 years old. When I was a kid, you had one kid in three different schools, maybe, that was allergic to a peanut. I used to be the cool kid in first grade, because I used to take peanut butter Ho-Hos into class and we trade, I mean, it was all acceptable. Now, my gosh, if you bring peanuts to class, you could get accosted and maybe get a detention.
Yeah, or
So,
arrested.
yeah, it's a whole different deal. So my point is, it's like we've irritated our nervous systems due to a lot of different things. And stress from both psychogenic, physical. So, hey, I train a lot and I don't do enough repair cycling to go with my training. I see this a lot in my pro athletes that I work with. It's critical that you do that. And so, yeah, I think for us, tracking could be really simple. Like, let's add a part in saying, do you do physical medicine, chiropractic care, and how often? And then you can correlate that as another parameter to what's going on with that individual, because for us, it's incredibly important.
No, I think that, because that's just like I see a lot of really cool stuff out there. I'm like, I would love to see the data that gets pulled from like your system, and then like we have the people that are doing all of the things, and then we have the people that are doing all the things plus chiropractic. That's my chiropractic head talking, right? It's
Of
like,
course.
are we getting better results, same results, different results? Because like there's a lot of really neat stuff, and I can share with you after. I don't want to quote things that I can't quote, right? I don't want to do that. But some of the really neat research on DNA repair and chiropractic, like really cool stuff that's out there. It's been out there, but it gets hidden, because it's, you know, we kind of get put into like the pigeonhole in our profession as like the bone people. We're really more neurological doctors that work with the structure, but I can't grab someone's brain and nervous system and move it around. So I'd love to share some of that with you, but I think this is such a cool platform. Like I'm looking at it right now. It's such a really neat platform that I think if you're someone that wants to be healthier, is sick and needs to maybe run out of a disease and actually go on that continuum like direction, rather than just keep going down the rabbit hole of traditional ways that we see don't work. Because I mean, I have friends, I have patients, people have been on like chemo and rate, all of this stuff, because they've waited so long and now their body is fighting like for its life.
That's right.
And even to that point, I still think when they're fighting for their life, I still think they can do things that are proactive. They don't need to go down only this, and this. You know, it's huge.
Exactly. No, and a good example. I mean, I have I have women that, you know, I'm firmly convinced, you know, I have women that, you know, they go through their chemotherapy for their breast cancer. So there are a lot of platinum derived drugs. And, you know, that, you know, they'll be told, hey, the platinum gets out of your bloodstream, no big deal. But what we don't talk about is how there's this correlation to platinum creating further cancer risk. And that's because platinum gets stored into bone marrow. And so we do a provoked urine challenge on them, and we see all this platinum pouring out of them. And so we clean that mess up, that spill up, that environmental disaster up.
Yeah.
And I'm not commenting on whether the platinum was right or wrong or breast cancer treatment. I'm talking about clean the person up afterwards. And what I found in general is that, you know, people kind of outlived where they were told they were going to go because we cleaned up the mess, reset their physiology. And I really believe that you just, you can't ever give up on, because I've seen things, nothing shy of miracles happen on people who are really sick by, you know, doing, you know, other modalities to take care of their health. And I think it's, for me, it's all about what drove me in the 80s, was, you know, I was going and doing Tai Chi and doing Qigong, and I was doing Native American, you know, sweat lodges with, you know, Lakota medicine men, you know, and I was like, hey, this is all really cool. But I kind of got to prove that taking vitamin C matters, because we can't even prove that and not get, you know, get bashed. Right.
So it was the simple really things, important. Right? You'd think simple.
Yeah. Got to think simple, actually.
No, but I mean, I grew up doing the same things. I grew up, you know, I'm only 41, but I grew up doing like sweat lodges and fire walks as a kid and meditation, all sorts of crazy stuff that people like, probably all my friends probably thought my parents were crazy at the time, but that's what I grew up doing. But I like, just to your point though, with, you know, if we can't show that vitamin C is like a powerful antioxidant, holy cow, like how can we go into this metaphysical, into this other things where people are like, well, I can't see it.
Right.
How does it really work? You know,
and sometimes I think it's like, it's easier to do that because medicine goes, oh, well, that's metaphysical. Let's don't look at that. Although it is being looked at now finally and being reported on, which is fantastic. But it still becomes this basic premise of, hey, how do I get better? Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the biggest areas I see is that people just don't realize, you know, you don't have to feel anxious. You don't, you know, there's this whole thing of allostasis and allostatic load and being resilient and durable. So when I do, and I do education, and I've taught like researchers for special forces and, you know, strength coaches for, you know, professional teams, we talk about durability, resilience, capacity, and then allostatic load. And what people, if you're listening and you're not a practitioner, allostatic load is when you put so much load on your nervous system, which could be a toxin, it could be poor diet. It could be working out. It could be stress. It could be family stress. It could be any number of things, right? It could be positive stress. My business is so successful, I'm working 18 hours a day. Okay. As soon as you push your body past its limit, think of your brain as a circuit board and the circuit breaker box blows. And you can go and go to that light bulb and try to turn it on all you want. But until you go back and flip that circuit breaker box, you're not going to get that light bulb to go on. And that means those hormones aren't going to get released. And that means neurochemicals aren't going to release the way they should, or the peristalsis of your gut is not going to correct, because the HPA axis, the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, has now been altered because of that chronic stress. And that's allostatic load. And so in the wisdom of traditional cultures, the most valuable herb in every culture has been an adaptogen, herbs that keep you resilient to stress. What's the most valuable medicine in modern culture? Xanax and Prozac, because we blow our circuit. Now I'm anxious or panicked or depressed, and I need medication instead of getting on the front side of it and trying to understand it. Or, I mean, look, you could use natural options. Theanine, what a great natural option for moderate anxiety or mild anxiety, right? There's things you can do in the natural side. But my point being is, you know, since the beginning of recorded medicine, the value of prevention in every culture was there. We lost that.
Yeah, we're just symptom chasers at this point, right? Right. Feeling versus healing. Like, it's two totally different things.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. It goes right back to that continuum, like sitting in that middle of that continuum, not like going towards disease or death right away, or not really going towards health. So this is powerful. So what I would love to do, I mean, for those of you that are practitioners, we're going to share the link. For those of you that are not, you got to check out the link too, because I think there's a ton of value for you to get involved, learn more, take care of, you know, take the responsibility. The best part about your health is that when you own it and take that responsibility, you've changed yourself. Whether you're going to a practitioner, a chiropractor, physician, whoever it is, they're being the conduit to help you maybe find the piece of the puzzle, but you've actually taken the responsibility and you get to own your own health. And you may have saved yourself from something you don't even know is going on, which is powerful. You know, cancers and heart diseases and all of these other things that we're living with, that we probably could really mitigate if we actually just looked a little bit deeper and cared a little bit more about ourselves versus, you know, maybe our Instagram profile or, you know, whatever it might be, right? Like the pictures in there, right? So I want to, Jim, this is awesome. This has been a really awesome conversation. I want to really thank you so much. So I love to ask this question, because we can talk, we may have to have you on again, so we can go a little deeper, maybe into a little more fitness or something like that. So if we love to ask this question, you know, if you had to tell someone today, what are three things they could do to unleash their human potential? What would be like the three simple steps, action steps right now that they can just go and do and have a better tomorrow?
Yeah. Number one is, understand how to manage the stress in your life. And I mean manage it, because life is stressful. It's not so simple to say, oh, just don't let things worry you. There's perspective. And so if you can do that, that's going to be massive. And I really believe that. Number two is take control over your eating. People eat too much. They eat too often. They eat too late. They choose the wrong foods. And that can have, just diabetes shortens the lifespan of people by the average of 10 years. And so, we have 50% of the U.S. population is either diabetic or pre-diabetic. I know these sound really stupid and simple, but if they were being followed, we wouldn't be where we're at, right? And the third is become a creature that moves. I love Kelly Starrett's quote, you know, sitting is the new smoking. And I really think it's important that people move. And then after that, it all gets into evaluate what's right for you. What stage in life are you at? What I need to do at 60 and how I train when I go out in my garage with the equipment I have is different than the way I trained when I was 40, and is different than when I trained when I was 20. So understanding that at your life stage, there's going to be changes for you to maximize your human potential. And it's your job to uncover those nuggets through conduits like different practitioners and empower yourself to unleash that human potential so you can live the healthiest, longest life possible. And that means you get to enjoy your life as much as possible if you do that.
Yeah. Rock and roll, man. Couldn't have said it better. That was perfect. Perfect. So Jim, thank you. Everybody connect with him. All his details will be in the show notes, how to connect with him on social, YouTube, the whole nine yards. We want to make sure that the world starts to follow you more and starts to actually take action steps, because this, I don't want to call it a product, but this platform is powerful, right? Wow. And if used, it can be even more powerful, right? That's the goal. So thanks again, Jim.
Oh man, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Dr. Josh Hant here, and we need to talk about your health, your fitness, and your lifestyle. I know you, if you're like me, you've seen sickness and disease and even death in your life. And we know the leading causes of death in the United States are cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Many of these conditions and diseases are considered lifestyle-based. And I know that lifestyles in the United States and other countries are not where they should be. We also know that they make you more vulnerable to other sicknesses and conditions. We tend to get our advice and recommendations on health from commercials and marketing, from fast food to pharmaceuticals, and not from experts with real world experience. Unfortunately, we follow people or products who don't walk the walk or talk the talk. They simply just don't care about your health. It's just about their bottom line. I know we've heard it from our friends and from even our own self-talk that we don't have enough time, we can't make the changes, or there's just too much to do to be healthy. But there is a way to actually take control of your lifestyle and have the accountability and the support you need. We can be bigger than our excuses. For the past 14 years as a chiropractor, I've worked and continue to work with thousands of patients with their lifestyle and ultimately their health. I am now bringing the same philosophy to the online space where we can work as a group to get better, stronger, healthier, and be bigger than our excuses every single day. I've created the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program to be an online-based, training-based program where you get to learn and be engaged with others in your journey towards a healthy lifestyle and ultimately a healthier life. To be part of this amazing movement, it's just $5 a month. Yes, it's only $5 a month, and that seems too good to be true. Well, it's not. So for the price of a gourmet coffee, you will have access to an amazing program and amazing people that want the best for you too. So when you dive into the content below this video to learn about our lifestyle philosophy, you'll see that we are incredibly unique. No other online program focuses on lifestyle the way we do and delivers the quality and the quantity of content that we do for just $5 a month. And it's not just about the movement. There's a lot more. It's really about your health. So check out the details and other videos below. And when you sign up, I'll even send you the ebook, Inside the Locker, which dives deeper into creating an awesome lifestyle. I look forward to seeing you on the inside of the Lifestyle Locker 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program.